I wanted to speak to you guys just a little bit tonight about the kingdom table. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation 19 that he's preparing a table for us. He's preparing a place for us. Jesus didn't die for no reason. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be sinless because he is perfect. He sacrificed for us. We're washed by the blood of Jesus. And the reason why he did it is because he wants to be with his bride. And as the church, we are the bride. We're the bride of Christ. See, God bankrupt heaven so that he could have relationship with us. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples in John, and you'll have to pull it up on the screen because I don't even have my iPad, but I'm just preaching from my head tonight, I guess. When you look at John, check this out, 14 verses 1 through 6, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." And I love how it answers, because the disciples are like, "We don't know where you're going, Jesus." And Jesus, being practical, he's like, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And we see another element of this conversation in the book of Luke, because this is the communion supper. This is the last supper that Jesus is having with his disciples, and he's trying to impart something to them that's really important. He's trying to let them know, "Hey, I'm about to leave this place, and I've got a mission, and I've got a purpose for you. I've got something for you to do, but I'm going, and I'm going to prepare something special for you. And when you die and you go through the things that you go through because of your witness for me, I'm preparing a place. I have a reward for you." And I love the other context that we get of this conversation in Luke chapter 22. This is the same night, same table, same conversation. And verse 14 says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" And then verse 16, "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And then after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And Jesus uses this language quite a bit, actually. As a matter of fact, he tells us that when we pray, we should pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." And so Jesus is trying to get his kingdom here to earth. And Jesus tells us, "The reason why I'm going is because I have to prepare a place for you. Because you have a seat at my table. You have a seat in heaven with me. You have a place where you're going to spend eternity for me. And I am the master carpenter. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare this place. But you have some work to do before you get to be there." And I was thinking about tables when I was preparing this message. Because I think sometimes as Christians, what we do is we think a little too far ahead. Because where it says, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what we often do is we get so fixated on the moment when we're going to be in heaven. But there's quite a significant in-between space while we're here on earth. But the thing is, God wants his kingdom to be here on earth too. And the way that he accomplishes that is by his church going back and kicking off hell and saying, "This is God's territory. This is God's place. The devil does not have dominion here." But the problem is, sometimes our heads get so focused on that that we don't focus on the other tables that we have in our life. Because the kingdom table is great, but some of y'all thinking about the kingdom table are skipping a really important step. You're skipping your dining room table. You're skipping those moments where your family is right in front of you. You're skipping those opportunities, Dad, to impart scripture into your children. You're missing those opportunities, Mom, to share the Word of God with your little ones. Husband, you're missing the chance to speak words of life and encouragement over your wife. Wife, you're missing the opportunity to pray scripture over your husband. And what I don't want us to do tonight is get so focused on the kingdom table that we miss out on the dining room table. Because the thing is, the dining room table is connected to the kingdom table. Because what you do in your home, and what you do in your life, and what you do with your family, and how you live matters. As a youth pastor, I see all sorts of kids. I see kids that are healthy and full of life and excited about Jesus in church. I see kids that are broken and struggling and wondering why they're here. And the tension I feel as a youth pastor is realistically I get 2 to 3 hours with them a week and I'm just the youth pastor. And I feel God speaking to some families tonight. And I think God is trying to remind us of our kingdom assignment. Because our kingdom assignment is to see our babies get to heaven. Our kingdom assignment is to see our marriages be the type of marriages that honor God. Our kingdom assignment is even in our old age to be able to look at the heritage and the legacy of the Lord in our lives, because as our kids grow, we see our 30 and our 40-year-old kids and we're like, wow, they love Jesus. They're on fire for Jesus. God, I don't know how you did it. I made so many mistakes. I screwed up. I wasn't perfect. I didn't always get it right. But God, look at how you're moving, because they're living in the kingdom. And I need us to get our eyes back on the table, because you're missing it. Because your family needs you. Because your kids need you. Because your spouse needs you. And they don't stop needing you just when they grow up. They don't stop needing dad to call them when they get older. They don't stop needing mom to pray over them when they're struggling. It doesn't stop. And church, we got to live this thing out, because they see us and they know if we really believe it. They know if this is just something that we do on Sundays because that's the thing that we're supposed to do, or is this the thing that I cling to when I've got nothing else to hold on to? Is this the thing that I live out where I'm at the end of myself? Is this the thing that I stand on where my money's not right and my health is not right and my marriage is not right and my life is not right, but I'm standing on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ? If you can get that right, the kingdom part, when we're in heaven one day, that part will be just fine. You know why? Because Jesus is up there taking care of it. It says he's preparing a place for us, but he's given us an assignment to take care of what's right in front of us. And we can't neglect that responsibility. We can't push that off. I don't know what it is for you. It's different for everybody. Some of us have kids that have grown up. Some of us have spouses that maybe things didn't go right the first go around, so we're on our second go around. Some of us are in different situations, different struggles, different things. But what I do know is this remains true regardless. And what I do know is you have an opportunity tonight to say, you know what, God, I have not been getting it right, but I'm going to stop trying to do this in my own strength. I'm going to stop trying to do this in my own ability. I'm going to stop trying to do this thing in my own way, in my own preference, in my own desires. Instead, God, I'm going to surrender all of that. And I'm going to do it the way that you say to do it. I'm going to humble myself before you, because I don't have it figured out. I try to do it on my own, and look what it turned into. I don't know about you, but my way is nowhere near as good as God's way. And we got to get this right because it's a domino effect. You have an impact on someone's life. You make a difference in someone's life. The way that you carry yourself and that you seek the Lord and the way that you bring it. The Bible says the fragrance of Christ. That as Christians, it's like a Christian perfume that when we walk into a room, people can feel that there's something different. And it's nothing special about us. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ making the difference because we're allowing Him to work. We're allowing ourselves to be a vessel. We're allowing ourselves to be submitted to Him. But we got to make a decision. Am I going to submit to Christ? Because the kingdom table is awesome and I'm ready to be in heaven one day. That sounds great. And the dining room table, it really matters too. But you know there's another table that Jesus talks about in Revelation chapter 3. Check this out. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will open the door and let me in, I will come in and I will sit with them and I will eat with them. See, there's a table in our hearts. There's a table in our hearts. And Jesus is desiring to sit and be with you. Jesus is desiring to be in your heart and to be in your life. The Bible says that He's standing and that He's knocking. Jesus is like that salesman that won't leave you alone. He's like, hey, are you going to give your life to me? Hey, are you going to seek me? Hey, I know you've been struggling. Are you going to give it over to me? And Jesus is just knocking and He's waiting. He's saying, I can fix this. I can make it better. I can heal you. I can deliver you. I can get this into the place that it needs to be. But first, you just got to let me in. And if you'll let Him in, it says He's going to come and sit with you. He's going to eat with you. And I love what the psalmist says, that He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so when I have Jesus in my life, it doesn't matter what I'm walking through. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. And just like Paul said, I've had everything and I was content. I had nothing and I was content. I was in prison and they couldn't contain me. I was sharing the gospel and God was moving. Because my circumstances really don't matter. My situation, it really doesn't matter when I have Jesus. Because when I have Jesus, I have everything. When I have Jesus, I have peace that surpasses understanding. When I have Jesus, I may not be able to see what's going to happen, but I serve the God who knows all things. And that my faith is not by sight, but it's in a trust in a God in heaven who orchestrates all things for the good of those who love Him. But we can't just come to church only thinking about, well, what it's going to be like one day. Because just like what it said in Acts chapter 2, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, day by day. It's day by day. It's day by day. Are you walking with Jesus? Is Jesus in your heart? Is He seated at the table? Is He invited into the room? Is He invited into your mind and into your life? And the thing about Jesus is Jesus decides the menu. And so you're reaching for the things that you don't need to reach for. And Jesus is like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to eat that. We're not going to go that way. Because when Jesus is Lord of our life, He's the one making the decisions. And it goes in reverse. If you will let Jesus be at the table in your heart, you'll start to see that the table in your dining room starts to look a little different. I've seen families completely turn a 180 because somebody in that household gave their life to Jesus. And what's really cool is when I get to see kids, what's up, teens? When I get to see kids, let's go. when I get to see teens change their home, change their family, change the dynamic in their household. Why? Not because mom and dad was serving Jesus, but because Jesus got in their heart. And then they went to the dining room and they're sitting next to mom and dad and they're like, what's going on? And they're telling them about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, mom and dad and brother and sister and an entire generation is sitting at the table in the kingdom. We've got to get them in our hearts. We got to let them in our lives. It's got to change us. It's got to transform us by the renewing of our mind as we transform our lives and submit to the scripture and the kingship of Jesus Christ. God will begin to use us. God will begin to use us. And I want to see works in my life. I want to see miracles in my life. I want to look back on my life and be in awe and in wonder of God, you used a screw up like me. God, you used a mess up like me. And look what you did. I think God wants to do that with all of us. But the first step, it's just giving your life to Him. So I want everybody to stand. Can we get the worship team to come back? We did it just a second ago, but I want to do it again because I don't want anybody to miss out. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if He is not Lord of your life, if He is not King in your life, if He is not the one making the decisions in your life, it is time to change that and start following Him. Because He wants to do some amazing things. He's at the door. But the question is, are you letting Him in? Are you letting Him in? Lord, we thank You. This is Your church. These are Your people. And Father, we just stand in awe of You. And God, we ask that You would have Your way in us. God, teach us what is pleasing to You. Teach us what it means to be obedient to You. Because love is displayed in obedience according to Your word. And our obedience allows us to be effective so that we can make a difference in this world. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us. God, I thank You that You love us and that You want to help us. And God, I pray that we would be the salt of the earth. That we would be the light on the hill. That God, we would be difference makers in our homes, at our workplace, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, our next door neighbor. God, I pray that You'd help us to make a difference. Because God, we want to be used by You. God, we give You permission to use us. God, we just thank You because this is a special moment. This is a sacred moment. On a random Wednesday night in July, as we get ready to celebrate freedom, God, I just thank You for the freedom that we have in Christ. I thank You for the people that have found freedom tonight in the front of this room. And God, I pray that we would just walk in our freedom by the Spirit through You. That, Lord, we'd be marked by Your presence, that we'd be marked by Your Spirit. Because, God, You're holy and You're worthy to be praised. So, God, we praise You tonight. God, I thank You that we have a church that can come together in fellowship and enjoy one another and love on one another and be there for one another. And God, as we get ready to close tonight, I pray that you'd be with each of us as we go. That God, you would continue the work that you've started. And God, I know you're faithful to bring it to completion. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people said tonight, amen. Amen. Now give Jesus some praise.